Welcome to the Holy Shit Podcast. Frank and Patsy get together to discuss the issues of the moment. You know, the things that make you say, holy shit. Here are your hosts, Master Hapkidoist, Patsy Zarilla, and Attorney Frank Natel, Esquire.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Holy Shit Podcast for July 24th, 2019. I am your co-host, Patsy Zarilla, and with me as her first time co-hosting us, Phyllis Ramsey of Ramsey Law. How are you doing today, Phil?
I am good. It's National Tequila Day.
I know my wife is all excited, believe, because that is her drug of choice. It really is.
Let's take a shot now.
I have a little bit of scotch, actually. So. I'm only good with brown liquor.
Okay.
Clear liquor gets me arrested.
Me too, but hey, for the tequila day, I may have to step out of my comfort zone.
Right, so you got to take a chance sometimes,
there
right?
There you go.
Boy, today was a big day. We had Robert Mueller testifying today. It was the one day I think that honestly I think everybody, regardless of what side you're on, was looking for, just because of all of the drama that's been going on, right? You just get tired of it. You and I kind of went back and forth a little bit during the day, a little bit, not too much because you were on a flight, but just overall, before we get into some of the into how the sausage is made, what did you think, generally speaking?
Somebody had a really good lawyer to prepare them, to prep them. I mean, you know, I'm speaking as an attorney and I'm speaking as someone who often has to prep my clients for testimony, for depositions, for trial testimony. And I won't give away all my secrets, but I think he was prepped. Well, I didn't hear anything that was a shocker or that was some kind of bombshell. I don't think there are going to be any breaking news stories tonight. I mean, obviously, you know, the news is going to report about it, just the fact that he testified. But, you know, he didn't really break down or go off on anybody. So I think he was prepped well. I don't know if we'll ever really know his true thoughts and motivations and actions behind this.
Did anything happen or anything said, or was there anything, again, just generally speaking, that you did that surprised you, or did this pretty much go exactly the way you
figured it would go? It pretty much went exactly the way that I thought it would go. I was not really surprised. I don't know what the word would be, but I do think that he got a little more, he got a little closer to not saying guilty, not saying that the president is guilty of anything, but he did get a little closer to that line of probably throwing accusations of guilt that I thought he would get. I mean, he didn't touch the line. He definitely did not go over it, but he got within sight of it.
Yeah, I thought so too. And the one thing I took away from it, especially in the morning session and the afternoon session, really didn't change my mind, was I thought both sides were going to be both. And when I say both sides, I mean, you know, I don't care if you want to say Democrats, Republicans, or, you know, conservatives or liberals or however you want to put it. I kind of felt like both sides were going to be happy about a lot and pissed off about a lot at the same time.
It went that way. I mean, we could see that from some of the passion in the questions or the raised voices.
I often have said, especially whenever it came to like, I don't want to say law as much as I say policy, like governmental policy, that you basically have a system that is set up to be adversarial. And if both sides walk away from this, whatever compromise, we'll say, if they're trying to like pass a bill or whatever the case may be, both sides walk away with this a little upset and a little happy, then chances are it's probably a good bill. I kind of got that feeling that with Mueller's testimony today, that it was It was about as honest as he was capable of being, considering what his restraints were, because he obviously didn't want to compromise things that are still going on, nor did he want to go beyond his scope, because he just either didn't feel comfortable about it, or he was afraid that if he went outside of what his report was, then things were going to be taken out of context, or, you know, they're going to be manipulated more than they're going to be anyhow. So I thought he was very good at
yep.
His what,
I think, yeah, I think
89th
he did a good
testimony
job.
In front of
Again,
Congress.
This is not to say that I agree with everything he said, but I think he did a good job as a witness, you know? So as I said, when I'm prepping my clients, that's what I tell them, hey, stay calm. Don't get into arguments. refer the person asking questions, refer them to the complaint or the report or to your discovery responses. And, you know, I think that was the phrase of the day. It's in the report. The report speaks for itself. It's in the report. I felt like I needed the report with me to reference the page numbers.
So if he was your client, you would have been very happy with his for his performance today.
Yeah, he was definitely rehearsed. I don't know if I would put very in front of happy, but I would. If he was my client, I definitely would not. When it was over, I definitely would not have said, "Hey, you fucked that up." I would have said, "Okay, you know, make them work for it. Make it work. Make them work for it. You were making the work in there." So yeah, I think he did. Performance, I like that. I got to start using. I always tell people that the law is a performance. So we have.
Well, there you go. In the martial arts, we have a sort of a running, let's say, gag, for lack of a better term, is whenever you learn a new technique or whatever it is, you
okay.
give credit to somebody who taught you the technique for 30 days, and then you can claim it as your own. Okay, so you got a running clock. So what I do is I just be quiet. I just shut up about it for 30 days, and then I spring it on somebody. Like, oh, hey, that's pretty good.
He had a dress rehearsal. Obviously, he's had many dress rehearsals. He's read the script. He's practiced the script. So he pretty much mm-hmm. stayed on. You know, for this live performance, he pretty much stayed on script. Yeah, very.
Yeah, I thought he was very disciplined. Just to go over a few highlights, we'll start, you know, early this morning. He was very upfront and very strong in saying, you know, in his opening remarks that he is going to stay with his report. He's not going to go away from that, and he was dead on. I thought Jerry Nadler's opening comments were very poignant and straight to the point. How's that for you know, just repeating myself a little bit. Nadler didn't play around. He was straightforward, and I thought he was really on point until I saw Schiff this afternoon, and then I was like, wow, Nadler was he was definitely the opening act. He said the president's behavior included, and I quote from your report, public attacks on the investigation, non-public effort to control it, the efforts in both public and private encourage witnesses not to cooperate. I thought that was a big thing, and I don't think a lot of people touched on that enough. To be honest, I thought this idea that, well, you know what, at the same time, Mueller kind of shut that down. Among the most shocking of these incidents, President Trump ordered his White House counsel to have you fired and then to lie and deny that it ever happened. He ordered his former campaign manager to convince the recused attorney general to step in and limit your work, and he attempted to prevent witnesses from cooperating with your investigation. You would think that would have been enough, right? I don't get how And Mueller really didn't fight back on that. He was like, "Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Yeah, that's pretty well it." What do you think after hearing that? And like I said, we're just going to start kind of going in chronological order here. Do you think that's going to convince people
from this
that it's time to take a closer look at this?
On before. I think it shed, you know, maybe some light, maybe people giving us this idea that we're getting some inside peek. But for instance, I don't think anybody who woke up this morning and said, "I totally support President Trump. I don't think he did anything wrong." I don't think at the end of this hearing that they said, "Oh my gosh, my boy did something wrong." At the same time, I don't think anybody who woke up this morning and said, "That guy has committed a crime. I wish that they would put him in jail." I don't think the end of the hearing they said, "Oh, I was so wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. Let's leave him alone." But I do think what it highlighted, and I was thinking of this as I was rushing through the airport trying to watch it on my phone and having internet snatched from us when we were on the airplane, it just highlighted privilege and a different set of rules. You know, we're living in a strange time, and it just highlighted privilege and a different set of rules. There is no way that anybody else could be investigated, tamper with the witness, and nothing be done about it. You know, I think there was one point, and I'm paraphrasing here, I think one of Mueller's points that he keeps going back to is he can't exculpate Trump, but he can't really say he did anything illegal. And I'm like, yes, tons of black and brown people sitting in jail right now while you all figure out if they did something illegal. But for this, and I get it all, you know, the sitting president can't be charged with a crime or whatever and can't be prosecuted. Yeah, mm-hmm. We get all of that. But it just highlighted to me the very different set of rules that we live under in this society.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the one thing that the Trump administration or this Trump's run here so far has highlighted is the absolutely big difference in how the haves and have nots are being
absolutely
treated.
Absolutely. Not I a mean, pun it, at all. It's black and white.
And I'm sorry for I the mean, pun. I it's very black and white.
That, again, that some black and brown people sitting in jail cells today would have the privilege of having months of investigation, writing reports up, having people testify, and then not really coming to a conclusion. This, I mean, for I think it's a fascinating study for criminal law. I don't do criminal law. All I know is the right to remain silent, but and fruit of the poisonous tree. But it's a fascinating study for criminal law. Right.
Yeah, it is. I'll be honest, to go back to what we were saying a little earlier, that's one of the big reasons why I don't drink the clear
alcohol.
Yeah,
I don't want to testify in front of Congress.
You really should shut up. Yeah, that just doesn't register with me at all. It just.
Right.
don't. Yeah, I just, if I'm going to do that, I want to be home alone in a room all by myself. Jerry Nadler asked Robert Mueller, "Did the president refuse a request to be interviewed by your team?" Mueller said yes. "And is it true you tried for more than a year to secure this interview?" Mueller again said yes. "Is it true that you and your team advised the president's lawyer that, quote, an interview with the president is vital to our investigation?" Mueller again said yes. "And is it true, also, quote, stated that the interest of the presidency and public for an interview take place?" Yes. "But the president still refused to sit for an interview by you and your team." And Mueller responded with true. To go back a little bit, he at some point it was either Nadler or somebody else had asked Mueller about Junior, and Mueller refused to answer anything about Junior whatsoever, even if he was asked to do an interview. I guessed that And you know, you're in a
As
better
far
position to
as
answer this. That it's
I
very
mean, it's still
possible
ongoing
that it's because
investigations,
there
and
are still
then
ongoing investigations.
I just, again, as I keep saying, we live in a different and a very strange
Junior.
world. You know, where else could this happen? When else could this happen? We've turned, I mean, we live a reality show every day. Right. I mean, this
Yeah,
is
couldn't.
better than a reality show. When have I mean, I'm trying to even think of my own life in the past few years. I'm usually
Yeah, with this
listening to
clown we
music
do.
in the airport or watching some mindless TV show. I am walking through the airport this morning, looking at a freaking hearing about if the president of the country that I live in, that what I was born and raised in, is a criminal. Who does that? Where does that happen? Right.
And it kills you whenever you sit there and you're saying, boy, these
It's
people are
amazing.
talking
So
honestly about this.
it'll be
You
interesting, I
know,
guess, to
yeah, I
see
mean,
it
it's a
going
legit
forward, but
question.
I still don't think any right now any bombshells are going to come. Or it could be that we are just now so numb to the bombshells coming. I mean, we thought the biggest bombshell was the night he got elected, but we keep getting aftershocks. We keep getting aftershocks.
Right? Do you think there's a lot of people who I say like are in the middle, and I don't mean that like for real. I just mean like either they're not really paying attention to this, or their lives are just so hectic and they just got so many things going on that they just don't care. They just don't have time to sit here and find and decide, you know, is this guy a criminal? Is he breaking the law? Is he doing this or that? They want to go pick up their kids from school. They want to drop them off someplace because they got two other jobs they got to go to and whatnot. Do you think this is going to be enough for them, for maybe not all
Necessarily.
of them, but
I mean, I think
a
obviously you have the
majority
nerds
of
like
folks like that
me,
to
you, and
start paying
Frank
attention to this thing and
who
start
pay
saying, hey,
attention
maybe
to
we
this.
should look
But
at this further?
I think it's going to have to be brought home a little more clear for people to really pay more attention to it. I mean, you will have those people like us again who dissect it and look up, 100 articles on it because I missed the afternoon testimony because I was on the flight. As soon as I landed, I was like all about looking up articles. So you'll have people like that. But then I think for more people to really take interest is going to have to be much more clear. That was one of the things I was noticing as the testimony was going on, is particularly some of the Democrats' questions, they were so unclear or so vague and long-winded that I almost didn't know what to ask when it got to the end. And I mean, you would constantly hear that saying, now answer the question. And I was thinking, if I was in a deposition, I would say, repeat the question, or what was the question, or objection. So I think we're going to have something much more clear. I mean, I don't think a lot of people's ears are going to perk up until somebody definitively says, yes, a law was broken. This is the law that was broken. But until then, I don't necessarily think so. Interestingly, though, I don't know if you're watching Merriam-Webster's dictionary Twitter feed. So if their Twitter feed pulls up where, and they've been doing this for a while now, definitely through this administration, but they
No.
pull up words that people start looking up in the dictionary after these things happen. So today, exculpate was trending, and Merriam-Webster tweeted out, to be exculpated is to be cleared from alleged fault or guilt. And of course, you hear Mueller at the end say that Trump is not exculpated. So that was interesting. For some reason, Purview was up 11,000%. People were looking at that a few hours ago. So that's interesting. So I think things like that will tell us where, the normal everyday people dropping off their kids at school, normal everyday people working 9 to 5,
Wow.
9 to 6, 9 to 12, working third shift. I think things like that tell us what they are interested in. It's probably hard to keep some people's attention with those long questions that really are soliloquies and really are the congresspeople, the congressperson's way of getting their ideas out. But every so often you would hear those words and your ears would perk up or like, what does that mean? So I think we're going to have more moments like that with those buzzwords or something that people automatically know. I mean, we all know what the word guilty means. So rather than saying, hey, did he break any law? Did he obstruct justice? Is he guilty? Do you think he's guilty? I think that would get more interest, or that's when people would really start paying more attention.
I think vocabulary has a lot to do with it. And I've always said that one of the things that makes Congress at least appear to be out of touch, well, there's a lot of reasons, but a lot of it is because of their vocabulary. Okay. Last week, you know, we had talked about everything that was going on with the four congresswomen. Oh, I forgot what they call themselves, AOC and yeah, that's it. This one, that's a great name. I'm sorry, that it is. But one of the things that are very appealing to about them is, in a lot of ways, the same thing on the other side that makes Trump very appealing is not really what they say, but how they say it. They just very simple, basic language. And they have a very strong appeal because they talk to you like you would be talking if you were, you know, sitting in somebody's living room or at a bar or just, you know, just kind of hanging out.
Right.
And I think that has a big impact on how,
get long-winded,
not as much how what people think of you, but how much they're willing to pay attention to what you say.
What we could have said in half a page. Yeah, so, of course, it was interesting to me as an attorney. I was halfway watching it through my attorney eyes, like, wow, this is interesting. I should show my clients this as a way to testify when they have to give testimony. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, just looking at it as just plain old Phyllis, plain old whiskey drinking Phyllis, I was like, this could have been over in 35 minutes. Surely this could have been over. Did he do it? Did you find that he did something? You said the report speaks for itself. No, you speak for the report. Tell me, why did you write that in the report? So, you know, I see it both ways.
Yeah, I know, like, a lot of times whenever I got to do things, I'll say things, especially descriptive things about how we do things, and I'll use like four or five different languages, right? Because some of the things I'm showing my students is from a Korean art, so it has a Korean name to it. Some of it is Chinese or Japanese. Some of it's Russian. So you have to kind of say it the way you were taught it, and then just say, okay, look, that's what it is, but here's what it means, you know, that type of thing. But I have that because I have a very captured audience, so to speak, because they're on my mat, and if they're not paying attention, you know, well, it's not a good idea to be in a martial arts school and not pay attention. Bad things happen, you know. So you learn real quick. You better pay attention to what's going on. There was a very tense back and forth, obviously, with Representative Matt Gaetz from Florida, you know, that idiot. I wonder if this guy actually wants to do anything.
Hey, isn't that why we all get jobs?
He just seems to like to yell a lot.
He
subscribes to the idea of, I really don't have to know what I'm saying or know what I'm talking about.
You know,
I just got to be louder than you.
If you're trying to improve your argument, if you're trying to win the argument, you don't have to raise your voice.
Because
you just improve your argument. And but, you know, that's a trend in a couple of these hearings that we've had, is just get loud, which I think most people who did tune in, and I will admit, I'm people. So when I refer to people, I'm referring to myself. Half of me was tuning in to see who would lose their cool, you know. And that's why I said a few minutes ago that I think if I was Mueller's lawyer, I would say, oh, you did okay, because he didn't lose his cool. He didn't yell. I mean, I wasn't expecting to get much information or anything that the report hasn't mm-hmm. said or that we haven't heard, but I was expecting to get a better fight.
Yeah, you know, and I think there's a lot of truth to that, because I think a lot of people were looking. I think a lot of people were looking for to be entertained. I really do. I don't think they were interested in fact or truth as much as they were.
I wasn't disappointed that nobody called.
They just wanted somebody to show them the breaks on the object, and they were going to run with it. That's why I think a lot of people are going to look at what happened today and be very disappointed.
Somebody just yelling, or Mueller's going to storm out, and it's going to be dramatic, and none of that happened.
One of the more dramatic things, not that there were much, because Mueller really did keep it dry, was an exchange he had with Republican Representative Ken Buck, where Buck asked him, could you charge the president with a crime after he left office, which is a really stupid thing if you're a Republican to ask somebody who's, you know, going after investigating a Republican president, to which Mueller replied, yes. You believe that he committed, then he kind of backtracked and said, you could charge a president of the United States with obstruction of justice after he left office. Mueller again said, yes. Buck tried to corner him and say, ethically, under the ethics standards. And Mueller said, I'm not certain, because I haven't looked at the ethics standards, but the OLC opinion says that the prosecutor, while he cannot bring charges against the sitting president, nonetheless can continue the investigation to see if there are other persons drawn into the conspiracy. Mueller, however, did not say that Trump should be charged. He just said that he could be. And now, of course, there's a lot of things.
Well, I think a few people did that today. Ask questions. You know, you not only don't ask
better question
that you don't know the answer to,
just based
you
on
ask
that.
A question
how the,
in a
how
way
the
that
fuck do you go into this
the
thing and be
that
ill prepared to ask a question?
And
like
if
that.
Anything today, I saw, okay. I was thinking they didn't really.
I mean, honestly, I mean, this is your wheelhouse,
you know,
not mine. And even I know you don't ask a question you don't know the answer to.
They're not getting the answers they want because they didn't phrase the questions correctly. So I don't know. I mean, I was kind of baffled by that myself. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't quite get it. I mean, how do you? And it wasn't like, you know, these guys found out, you know, like at 10 o'clock last night that, hey, you got a committee meeting tomorrow, you know, right? they kind of knew about this for some time. In fact, he gave them an extra week. You know what I'm saying? And it's like it was like one right after the other. I mean, Jim Jordan was a real asshole about it, but he normally is. I thought Ted Lieu's questioning was absolutely brilliant. And I think if the Democrats had any brains at all, they would just continuously just put his questioning and Mueller's answers on a continuous loop and just play that continuously until Election Day. Because he was, and if you listen to him, you know what, honest to God, you can tell the people who've done this stuff before and the people who are just, you know, trying to pretend that they know what they're doing. You watch Ted Lieu, and he was so measured and so matter of fact. And going to back to what you said, it wasn't not knowing as much what to ask, but how to ask it. If you watch Ted Lieu's questioning of Robert Mueller, that is textbook what you're talking about, how this guy just pretty much took him by the hand and said, okay, we're going to go from point A to point B, and then we're going to go from point B to point C, and we're just going to tie this whole thing together, and you're going to come along with me because I'm making it damn near impossible for you not to.
Yeah.
You know, that's brilliant. Right? It really is. That's absolute brilliance. Ted Lieu asked, I'd like to ask you the reason again that you did not indict Trump, Donald Trump, because of OLC opinion stating that you cannot indict a sitting president, correct? Mueller responded, that is correct. Then he quickly amended his response, saying, the only thing I want to add is I'm going through elements with you that does not mean that I subscribe to what you're trying to prove.
Right.
Okay, but in this case, you made a decision not to prosecute, correct? So even whenever he tried to get his way out of it, Ted Lieu was able to bring him back in. Mueller responded with, no, we made the decision not to decide whether to prosecute.
So, I mean, he associated with certain things.
As soon as he tried to get out, he pulled it back. It was like the Godfather thing, right?
You know, you kept repeating, president, prosecute, president, criminal. And we're beginning to associate his name with those things.
He had his moment.
Or they got in trouble before.
I thought that, like I said, you know when people have been down this road before, if they're just damn good at knowing what it is that they're doing. Yeah, well, right? Yeah, you know what? They won't tell you that, though, right? They're just going to be like, yeah, I've been here. It's like, yeah, you know what, buddy? I have, too. the second half of the day, the second one started was in the House Intelligence Committee, where Adam Schiff is the chair. He started stating that Mueller's report tells a story about lies, quote, lies, lots of lies. He phrased it of talking about lies of the Moscow Tower, lies about firing James Comey, the FBI director. He went on saying about lies about polling data, lies about hush money payments, lies about meetings to set up back channels. Schiff is really good, and he just kept pounding lies, 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 lies to the FBI, lies to your staff, lies to our committee, on and on and on and on and on. And then, you know, kind of projected and said, deception continues even after the Mueller report. Again, putting Mueller in a position where he really couldn't.
I feel the same way sometimes when I'm in court or in a deposition.
Get his way out. And then, on the other end, because, you know, there's always a yin and yang to everything, there was Devin Nunes,
the fire alarm.
Who honestly probably should have called illness. In sick today.
You can always fake an illness. You can always lean on, no, I have a headache.
You know, because at some point, you know. I'm watching this guy and I'm thinking, you know what, dude, you should have stayed home.
Right.
Yeah, right. You know, you could always start, you know, like sniffing and, oh, you know what, I'm just not feeling it. You know, fake sneeze, do something, right? He just start coughing all over somebody and saying, now, see, I got to go. It got to the point where a lot of the Republicans were like yielding their time to him because they would have like one or two questions, which was basically grandstanding for the folks back home. And then, he would come up with a couple of questions that I don't know where the hell he was coming from, but finally, like whenever it was toward the end of the committee's time and he just gave up. It was like people were like giving him back time, and he was just like, "Yeah, I got nothing." it was like this isn't going anywhere. Again, somebody who came off to me as just not being prepared. It was like he had his scripted page of, you know, because he would go second, right? Because the chair goes first, and then, you know, the majority chair goes first, and then the minority, well, not minority chair, but the leading minority will go second, right? And so he had his, you know, shifted his, you know, which was really good. And then Nunez did which, you know, and they were both reading off scripts. Let's face it. That's kind of how you got to do things, you know, because you're just going to forget things, or you're going to get things out of order, or whatever. You're trying to set it down.
And that's also what this hearing in many ways.
After Nunez got off of his scripted, whatever it was, he was done. There was nothing left for him. He was.
I have this together. I'm fighting for you.
You know, he was trying to swing for the fences every time somebody was throwing fastballs at him, and he was just missing.
It was about these Congress people, right, trying, I guess, to get a vote next time. Right. Which I don't know. I mean, you know, you get it how you live it. So that's their thing. But
yeah, a few folks, that's what it felt like. There were a few. And I think, honestly, on both sides, it was the majority. They really weren't looking to garnish votes. They were running the party line, or, you know, knowing their role or whatever it was. But there were a few folks in there, though. It was pretty obvious. They were just doing it for the folks back home. Yeah, you know what? Dance with who brought you, right? Yeah, it's I mean, and I understand why, you know, that memo is in place, because let's face it, if you're the opposing party and you don't agree with the president, who's, you know, more than likely the opposite party, you know, then you can just like, have these things and get them arrested, right? And both sides can do it. And, you know, just basically take advantage of and bastardize what the intent of the law should be. So I understand the reason behind it. I guess the problem that I have is, it just seems to me that whenever you have extraordinary circumstances, taking extraordinary measures, to me, does not necessarily set a precedent. You know, so I wonder why. I guess it's just Robert Mueller, but I guess I don't understand why you have a presidency that from its very beginning was never done before. And if you can't see,
wouldn't we apply that word to many things that have gone on in this?
The slimy
years that we enter this thing now?
Shadow.
See how much
hanging over this guy, everything from his election to what he did when he woke up this morning. You're just not paying attention. You're just living in a dream world. So to apply the standards into something that is non-standard, to me, just seems foolish. And I don't get it. Yeah. We're in the third quarter.
Believe
it. Right? Yeah. No, I'm hoping it's Tom Brady time here pretty soon. Are we good? Yeah. We're gonna have some problems. About an hour ago, these things ended, and You know, the occupant of the White House decided to start his Twitter ramblings again. And first one out of his mouth, out of his thumbs, I guess. These hearings were a disaster for the Democrats. I don't believe that. I just don't think it was the...
If I were him, I would be doing exactly
entertainment
what
value
he's
that
doing. So
people
thank
were hoping
God,
for.
Allah,
and
Jesus,
then
that I'm
a couple minutes
him.
Later,
but
he tweets about after hearing the conclusion in all caps,
I mean,
"Truth is a force of nature."
This is nothing new for him. So he always takes anything and makes and spins it
his
way.
If you were
so
him,
nothing
let me ask
is
you
this: ever
if you were him,
I mean, he's the guy. He's
would
the
you
kid,
have looked at what happened today and been like all jacked up and been like, yeah, damn right.
Cake, has the chocolate cake
or
on
would
your
you
lip
would you sit
and
there and
said,
say,
I didn't eat the cake.
Yeah,
so,
you know?
Right. So nothing ever, you know, I don't even want to ever think about if I were him. However, if I were his supporters or someone, I would say, it wasn't the bombshell that we thought. It wasn't, you know, nobody came away from this thinking that somebody's going to swarm the White House with handcuffs and march him down Pennsylvania Avenue in handcuffs or in the back of the squad car. I don't think it was as exonerating.
Yeah, right.
as
there's chocolate cake,
you know,
all around his mouth,
believe.
Right?
Definitely yeah. not. I just think little by little is chipping away and eventually the wall, little by little is chipping away at this wall that's around him. And the hope is that perhaps eventually the wall will break through. Seems to be taking a long time. The powers that be probably need to get on it, do a little better, maybe ask better questions. But slowly but surely, the wall may eventually come down, but a little more work needs to be done. But you know, he's going to celebrate no matter what. He's going to celebrate again. We could catch him on camera. Some video or audio could pop up with him saying everything he's been accused of saying, showing everything he's been accused of doing, and he would say, "The truth prevails." As the video shows, I was just grilling hamburgers. So. Yeah. He was taking a victory lap before things even got underway. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'll be honest. I expected him to try to take a victory lap,
well,
no matter how this played out.
But I don't think
that's just him.
Consensus will be to move on. I think the consensus will be show us more.
Yeah, yeah. He was already planning.
Show us
he's
something
got a,
concrete more. So when I say show us more, I don't mean
got a,
more day long
Nazi rally going on tonight someplace. I don't know. So this is
show us more. Show me what you got. You know.
Yeah. This is going to be awful. Do you think
you got my attention? You're
that
using
this,
these.
Do you think it's done now? Do you think
kind,
people are
going
to look at this whole thing and
line,
say, you know what? Okay, that's enough. Let's
they're
just
inside
move on.
Of the line, but they're not touching the line or going over the line. Come over the line. Show me what you got. You know, if this was a trial, you have to prove it. Show us the evidence. So where is the where are these other things? Okay, we get it. The report speaks for itself. But what made the report speak?
All right, so you got my attention. Now show me the goods now, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you got to show me something. So that is what I think. Okay, we have this report. Well, what does the report not say? What information did you leave out of the report and why? That's what we need to hear and see.
Right. Yeah, I would have guessed, and again, I am guessing, so I'll leave it to you to tell me if I'm right or wrong. But if this was a trial, he would be getting off right now. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to know. I mean, even if you can't necessarily get some high security, tell us necessarily what's in the redaction, but what category does the redaction fall under where you even had to redact
it? One of the things
that
I wish they would have touched on a little bit more was
one side or another will redact certain things.
They sort of did it this morning, but that was about it. It was just real quick, was the redaction. Why were things redacted? Do you think some of the things that were redacted should have been there? I think they should have hit on that a little bit more. And I don't think that anybody really
redacted, and I don't have to say what
really
it is,
took
I have to
the
say
time
something
to
like email to
see
client
what Mueller was
going to
do about that,
or you know, mail to another attorney in my office discussing strategy for trial, but not just these redactions. I mean, I wish an attorney would just give me something with a lot of stuff redacted and not explain why it's redacted. So I did again. We may not need to know what's in it, but what is the category? It's redacted emails to Junior, redacted Junior's credit card information. What's the category? Yeah, why or what category? What would be the harm in releasing it?
So you have to sort of just address why you did. You don't have to be very specific, but you kind of
some
have to address why.
Yeah. You needed some justification, something to go on. But without that,
I thought they did a very poor job of addressing.
We're just getting a whole lot of nothing.
Not, you know, like I said, what we know and what we're told is there. You can either go look at it or not. That's up to you. But none of us have any choice as to why we weren't shown something, right? And I really think there should have been at least something in the record from Mueller, since it was his report, to address it. Even if it was some half-assed, well, because my boss said he's retracting it, and that's all it gets. Well, at least it's on record now, you know? And I don't know. I thought somebody should have at least did a little bit of better job trying to ask him about that. Yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate. It really is. I think they kind of dropped the ball a little bit on that. At 4:45, so basically a couple minutes ago, Pelosi and Schumer were going to have a joint news conference about and addressing what was what happened today. I don't know, that's going to go on longer than we have time for, but I did want people to know about, you know, that it was happening. And we were aware of it. It's just there's no way in hell we're going to be able to cover it. Before we wrap it up, I just saw, and I wanted to tell everybody, and I wanted to talk to you obviously about this. We didn't talk about it ahead of time, but that's okay. Trust me. Updated.
Never know.
Well, it was updated this morning. That's how far down on the news list this was, and it's pretty big. A federal judge blocks Arkansas abortion restrictions. This is coming from CNN. A federal judge in Arkansas blocked abortion
Absolutely.
Restrictions that were set to take effect on Wednesday,
right.
Dealing a victory to opponents of the laws who argued that they violated the Supreme Court precedent, were not medically necessary, and imposed an enormous burden on a woman's ability to access abortion. Basically, it was District Court Judge Christine Baker, so obviously a female judge, unless, you know, like people take my name for female all the time, but I'm pretty confident Christine's a female. You know, I'll be honest, I am making an assumption, but you know, I feel pretty confident in it. I was glad to see this. I am still, I am still rather pissed off that a judge actually had to rule on this to begin with. But okay, you know what? Sometimes you got to give idiots their due.
Restrictions will,
but still,
impact those women who have.
I have a bigger question. First of all, obviously, I want to hear your reaction. I can pretty much guess what it was, but still, I also want to hear your thoughts about this this wave sweeping across the country in some of these half-assed states that are
for her to
just attempting to restrict access to things like this, and they're just doing it in waves over and over and over again. Even whenever they see that similar laws are being struck down, they're still passing them.
A certain category of women to hop on a plane, hop in a car, and go somewhere, you know, have a hotel for days or stay with family or whatever. But these restrictions, it's an attack. I mean, it disgusts me. You know, first of all, that anybody can think that they have a right to tell any woman what we can do with our own bodies. But it also is symptomatic of the lack of respect that this country just has for women's bodies, particularly those bodies of poor women and women of color. I mean, our bodies have been under attack since we set foot on this land, on the soil in this land in this country, and we continue to be under attack. But it is just amazing to me. I mean, amazing. When people in the name of pro-life and Christianity and religion think that they have the right to impose on women's bodies. That's just amazing to me. I mean, if I'm walking down the street, you better not touch my stomach, touch my breast, touch my ass. So why do you think you have a right to legally tell me what I can do with my stomach, my breast, my ass? That's amazing. Right. It's control, and it has nothing to do with life, because most people who are just so hardcore on these restrictions are definitely not pro-life, not with some of the things that they are doing. I wonder if everybody who's for these restrictions, how much money they've given to an orphanage lately. I wonder how many kids that they've offered to adopt. I wonder how many GYN offices they've gone into and said, we'll just wipe the bill clean of people who don't have insurance and who can't otherwise pay. But it's amazing to me. And it's scary too. It's very, very scary.
Yeah. I always made the argument. Two things I've always said. No one has ever woken up in the morning and said, boy, I hope I can kill a whole bunch of babies today.
The people who are for these restrictions.
The other thing I've always said is it's not a matter of pro-life. It's a matter of they just want control. They just simply want control.
I'll just have sex today and then just go get an abortion to deal with it. No. The decision to get an abortion is an emotionally charged decision. I can probably rest assured when I say nobody makes that decision lightly. And so to suggest that women are using this for birth control or just to be irresponsible, I think is also a slap in the face of women. And I also, let's remember, from a legal perspective, even Roe v. Wade is not it's not an abortion decision. It's a decision about privacy. And women have a right to their privacy. I mean, nobody can just bust in my house tonight and when I'm putting on my nightgown. I make a decision about that. I make a decision about when I decide to put on my nightgown tonight, I make a decision to close the shades and, you know, lock the door so that I can be in private. And so I should be able to make all decisions about my body in private. It's about privacy. Yeah, it's about privacy and the right to do with my body what I want. I mean, in no other ways can you control my body. If I decide to wake up tomorrow and not put any deodorant on, I'll be funky as hell, but it is my right to not put deodorant on. You know, I don't have to brush my teeth every day. Nobody's passing a law saying I have to brush my teeth. I don't have to take care of my health. I don't have to get a mammogram every year. I do it. But I don't have to. I don't have to go to the GYN every year. So it's amazing to me that people can think that they can tell a woman what to do with her body. And it's her body. Let's be real. It's her body. you know, it's her body. I hear all these arguments. Well, what about the man that fathered the child?
Yeah, you know, that's
about
an argument
the life
I haven't
of
heard
the,
yet. It's a great argument,
and
it's about privacy.
That,
I honestly
you know,
have not
that
heard
I don't
that argument. That's an absolutely brilliant argument.
Honestly, I think anybody who loves life and who loves justice is pro-life. But I think that they've actually corrupted that term, pro-life. If you love life and love justice, you're pro-life. If you are against oppression, you're pro-life. But
it's still your choice.
That a That's woman right. has a right to choose, it does not mean that you are not pro-life. I'm actually pro-life in saying that a woman has a right to choose because I want a woman to live her best life ever. And if she has to make that very difficult decision to have an abortion, I want her to have the right to do it. It's her choice. Absolutely. Oh gosh, this is just Well, it's still National Tequila Day. There you go. So that's what, one shot an hour. Let's have one shot an hour. Yeah.
They
What is National Whiskey Day? We have to make sure we mark that. We have to. Hey, thanks for having me. I can't wait
to come
back.
At the end of the day,
back.
It's still her choice. Still her decision. Right. That it's a damn shame that people don't quite get that. It is. Yeah, I was hoping to end this on a high note, but it's still national. That's right. We have National Tequila Day for about seven more hours. Right.
So, no, be careful out there on National Tequila Day.
You know what? I could do that, but I got a class to teach life. Tonight, and I think the last thing they want is me to have a couple of shots before tequila shots before class. It'll be memorable, but I probably won't get to get too many people back. Well, Phil, as always, thank you so much for your time. It was a great pod. Yeah, we definitely want you back. There's no doubt. To everybody who's listening, like Frank and I say every Wednesday, like Master Grant and I say every Sunday, your time is very valuable, and the fact that you're willing to spend some of that time with us means a great deal to us. It truly does. So, anything you want to say before we put this thing to bed? Absolutely. Okay, everybody, thank you as always. And until next week, same bad time, same bad channel. If you don't know what that means, you're far too young to be listening to this podcast. Until then, everybody, goodbye, good luck, and God bless. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Butchered Sports. Raw and unfiltered, the way you wish your local sports anchor would bring it to you. Find us on Twitter at Butchered Sports and on YouTube at Butchered Sports. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe.
Thanks for listening to Holy Sh** with Frank and Master Patsy. If you like our show, please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to support us on Patreon. Join us again next week when we discuss the next thing that made us say, Holy Sh**.